Hey, would you join me in prayer here as we open? God, I thank you for your presence. God, thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you that every time your word is released, that lives are changed. God, that you cut through the soul, that you cut, Lord, right through our emotion states. You cut right through thought processes. You cut right through experiences. Lord, you cut right through deceptions. You cut right through, Father, the things that hinder us from being able to see, perceive, understand what truth is, and be free. And so, Father, I'm declaring a spirit of freedom in this house today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the breath of God is, there's a life. And Lord, we pray right now for that breath, the breath of the Holy Spirit of God, to breathe on the Word of God this morning that would make us alive, it would change our lives, it would open our hearts, it would open our minds, God, to bring transformation. Lord, we're asking for this, we're agreeing for it. And Lord, we pray also this morning that lives that came in here with the need, Father, that there would be a divine encounter with the person of Jesus Christ today. Lord, if a person came in with pain today, if a person came with a disease diagnosed in their body, God, that those things, Lord, literally in your presence, as the breath of heaven is released on your word, Lord, that lives, physical bodies, Lord, would be changed. People would be transformed and delivered, Lord, and set free. God, I'm bringing this declaration before you because I know that these things happen, Lord, in your presence. So, Father, we thank you for these things. We agree for them, Lord. And as a body, we're in faith believing that these things happen, Father. Does anyone else agree with this stuff? God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, to that aim, I'm going to put your faith to test right now. So I had a testimony come forward this morning of something that had happened recently. A family member was found unresponsive. Her name is Denise. Stacy Bailey came up and shared. Stacy, what the relation is your sister-in-law's mother. She's in her early 50s, and she was found unresponsive. They have her in the hospital right now. She's on machines that are holding her life intact, and she just needs a total miracle. Now, we have seen this in this congregation, praying for people. We have people part of this congregation that have literally been raised from the dead off of machines like this. You know, this has happened several times as the body comes into agreement, and in that authority, we declare a release. And the Lord brings breakthroughs. So I'm going to ask that you do that with me this morning. Sound good? Okay, would you jump to your feet? Something about standing. We're going to stand in place right now this morning. We're going to take a stand on Denise's behalf. Thank you, God. So I'm going to ask that you just begin. We're declaring life. Listen, we're declaring life. We're prophesying over the fullness of her days. With your words right now, we're going to be releasing that life over her. Amen? Okay, so come on. For the next 30 seconds or so, I just want you to begin to pray out. Pray on. Imagine this was your mom, okay? Imagine this was your aunt. Father, we're asking for a breakthrough this morning. Come on. Prophesy life to her. Prophesy life over her days. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, another 10 seconds or so. Come on, bring a declaration, a strong declaration this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now I want you to come into agreement. I'm going to pray, and like I train my children, I tell them, hey, when we say amen, we're literally being so be it. We're saying so be it. We agree with this, Lord. And so each time, each phrase, each thing that I'm praying right now, all of us, we're going to corporately agree for these things. Amen? Okay, so you with me? So Father in heaven, right now, we stand before you as your body, as your people. Yeah, I'm testing you here. Go for it. Yeah. Thank you. God, we stand before the throne of grace. We approach it with great boldness this morning, knowing, Father, that you are hearing, Lord, our prayer, that you are answering from heaven, that there is no hindrance, there's no form of spiritual warfare that can stand against the will of the Father, that's standing in agreement, that the people of God are bringing a declaration before you this morning, Father. And so this morning, Lord God, in authority as sons and daughters of God, we assign life to Denise. We command this body to respond to life. We speak the breath of heaven into her now in Jesus' name. We declare over her that her days will not be cut short. We prophesy life. We prophesy life. We prophesy life. We speak to her immune system and to her organs to reset right now in Jesus' name. To reset right now, to come alive, to respond in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We say to you, Denise, come back. Come back, come back. The fullness of your days. The fullness of your days. The fullness of your days. God, her purposes, your plans, Lord, we declare over them, they will not be cut short by a work in the scheme of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Life, life return to this one. Life return to this one. Life return to this one. Thank you, Father. Lord, we agree for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Go ahead and grab a seat. Thank you, guys. It's been a while since we've had this discussion, or even had to have this discussion, just because there seems to be such a grace of the Lord and his blessing to sustain people and keep people healthy. And then, and even when we, even when stuff happens in people's lives, there's a rejuvenating that's been happening in the body of Christ, where God's just sustaining us as a people. I know people go through stuff, but there's such a grace for the sustaining and the bouncing back. Like the breath of the Lord picks us up, and when we get the wind knocked out. But I want to say to you, you know, it's good to be among a people who are going to stand over you and are going to command life if something was to happen. You want to be with the people. You want to be with the people, a company that when you go through something, they're not going to agree with the sickness. They're actually going to come against it. They're not going to partner with cancer. We're actually going to stand and declare that these things are not of the Lord. Are you with me here? So Pastor Jamie, what happens if we pray for someone and they don't get healed? You pray again. You pray again. What happens if they don't get healed that time? This is a two-question test. Ready? What do? You pray again. You're not talking to a God who's unresponsive. You're not. And the will of the Lord is very clear. The things that Jesus has paid for, like our prayers, our declarations, us walking in these kingdom realities is what brings forth what Jesus paid for. Like, it's our job to enforce what he paid for. It's part of the process of walking. So what happens if they die? Come on, what happens if someone dies? You raise them up. Resurrection. Like, this isn't hard. What if it happens if they aren't raised from the dead? Do you get yourself into a funk? Do you walk yourself and now you're depressed and you're upset because God didn't do what you wanted him to do? No. You now understand eternity's point of view, and that's a seed that's gone into the ground, and you stand in agreement with their life, and you don't allow the circumstances of life to determine what you believe about God's goodness. You allow their life to be a standing pillar of faith that they believed and they stood until the end. And in their faith, then we carry on the tradition of faith, and we're going to see breakthrough the next time. You don't allow things to set you back. You don't allow things to rewrite your belief system about God. Come on, am I preaching to the choir this morning, or do I got to actually preach this message? We don't allow the circumstances of life to determine what you believe about God. As someone who has experienced great setback in life, great victory and great setback. I am telling you that as I stood over my mother's body after she passed away from cancer, I made a commitment within myself that I would never watch this happen again, not on my watch. I said, Lord, this is not of you. I know this isn't of you. My mom stood in faith until the very end, until her last breath, believing that the Lord heals, believing for the restoration, believing for the miracle. And so in her faith, I would never discredit or put down her faith now and begin to believe somehow that that was God's will, that the cancer was from God, or partner with unbelief. Are you alive this morning? Don't allow disappointment, frustrations, and pains in life to somehow, you know, write or rewrite your belief system about who God is. God is good. And what Jesus' payment on the cross, it was final. It was full. The blood is enough. His body is enough. We may not see complete breakthrough right now, but I can tell you that if we as a people continue to stand in faith, we will. There are things that we see right now normally on a regular basis, things that people used to, it felt like such a burden or such a hardship to try to achieve in God before, but now we just have come to accept them as simple and easy. Things that people paid a price for and walked in faith towards, and then when the breakthrough came, it was something that set the rest of us up for success, that their ceiling became our floor. Now we stand on their faith, and faith upon faith, we're actually moving forward, and this kingdom is actually advancing. Things are actually getting better. Are you with me here? Okay. It's worth it. Let me tell you, it's worth it. If you have a Bible, would you open to Proverbs chapter 22 this morning? Proverbs 22, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 22, verses 4 and 5. The reward of the humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. Okay, let me read it one more time. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. Okay, we're going to take this passage of scripture, and we're going to break it down. We're going to kind of go line by line, word by word. When I first read this passage, it's pretty easy to read almost like a formula into it. You know, like 1 + 1 = 2. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord equals riches, honor, and life. If you see it as a formula, if you see it as a, if I do this and this, then this equals this, then you try to work the formula, right? The more humble I am, the more rich I get. Does that work out for you? The more humble I am, the more that I fear God, the longer that I live, the more that I, and we as, you know, as kind of Western-minded people, we have kind of a linear thinking where we attempt to create the pattern so that we don't have to be a part of the process. Right? Because if I know the pattern, then I don't actually have to live through it. Right? I can just skip the process because I know how to get it done. So I just do the pattern, and then I don't have to experience the process. Am I talking to anybody this morning here? All right, I am jet lagged. I just got back from Malaysia. It's the other side of the world time for me right now. So I am feeling a little bit fatigued this morning. What's your excuse? No excuse. Come on, participate with me this morning. We can do this. Okay, a reward. What's a reward? A reward is a direct result of actions taken. Okay, this is the word that actually makes us think that this is a pattern or a formula. A reward is the result of actions taken. When you take an action and then you get a result. In sports growing up, I played soccer all through my junior high days. And then to high school, I switched over and I began to play football. Now, as a soccer player, growing up, we had lots of tournaments. And I would get lots of trophies. Okay? The reason that we would get trophies is because we would win. Okay? It's not so much the case anymore. Now you get a trophy for just showing up. Okay, the participation award. I'm all for participation awards, except for when you win, you should get a trophy. How many competitive people are in here? Okay, I believe at least, I mean, the very bottom line, my trophy should be bigger than yours if I win. I played chess with my son this morning. Okay, we play games in our household. Okay, even my two-year-old knows the rules. You try to win. We play the game to win. That's why we play the game, right? These are the rules of our household, maybe not yours. But I'm okay. I'm okay with my two-year-old crying after I win. These are lessons you must learn in life. A reward is a direct result of something, okay? It's a direct result. For the humility and for the fear of the Lord, there is a direct result. There is an outcome to these things, but it's not a formula. You can't plug in your numbers, come up with your ratios, and then end up with more wealth, a longer life, and greater honor amongst men. It's just not how it works. You have to be in the process. God actually takes you through a process. Humility. What is humility? What's the outcome of humility in your life? When you choose to have a humble position towards people, towards situations, towards school, you're able to learn something. When you're humble, you're able to hear other people's opinions. When you're humble, you're able to hear points of view that are different than yours. When you're humble. If you're not humble, then you're convinced you're right, and then you're unable to hear. These are just kind of how it works. Humility will allow you to receive instruction, will allow you to receive correction. You know, if you're not in a humble kind of state of mind and someone brings a correction, it's really hard to receive sometimes. Right? You did that wrong. If you were thinking you did it right and you were feeling good about it, and then someone tells you you did it wrong, that's hard. Is anyone else? Especially if you're competitive. But humility positions your life to be able to receive correction, to be able to hear opinions, to be able to hear information that's different than what you believe. It positions your heart to be challenged. It positions your heart to be able to receive direction that's different than the direction that you wanted to go in or that you thought you were going in. Course corrections, you're able to receive a course correction in life if you're humble. Humility positions you to be able to admit when you're wrong. If you're not humble and you get corrected, if you're unable to admit that you're wrong, often that leads to the breakdown of a relationship. You know, husbands and wives, you know, if you've ever had conflict in your marriage, which means you've been married for more than 10 minutes. Not in my household. No, in my household, I just say, yes, dear. Yeah, she's like, you are lying. Yes, yes, I'm lying. You're right. But if you have conflict with somebody, and you actually do something that is wrong, or you hurt someone's feelings, or you do something that brings injury, if you're unable to hear that you hurt somebody, if you're unable to, in humility, position yourself to receive that correction, then you take a stand when you should be going low. And what that often will mean in the relationship then is that person's trust begins to be broken down because you don't know if they actually have your heart or your best interest in mind anymore because they're too focused on being right. This is how, you know, conflict happens in relationships. A party thinks they're right, the other one thinks they're right, and then we can't agree, and now we're separating because we're unable to come to any kind of middle ground. And this humility, the ability to admit that you're wrong, the ability to ask for forgiveness, the ability to say you're sorry, the ability to recognize that you overstepped, all these things, they all come with humility. Humility is an amazing thing. It's being willing to change. When you're in humility and you're now willing to receive a correction, or you're willing to admit that you're wrong, or you're willing to admit that you needed to apologize, when you position your heart like this, then you're ready and you're able to make a change in your life. And so what ends up happening, though, is if you don't walk in humility, that means that those relationships are going to be strained. Conflict is not able to be resolved, and now we're living around each other instead of with each other. Or in like a work situation, if you can't admit you're wrong to your boss, or you can't admit that you made a mistake, or you can't admit that you did something not according to company policy, or if you're unable to walk in humility towards management, then you're not going to be working there very long. Right? Am I telling the truth here? Come on, these are the things that in life, if you're able to walk in humility, then it means life goes well for you. See, honor, you know, one of these rewards, honor is the ability to be received as valuable by other people. They look at you and they go, oh, I value your input. I value what you have to say. I value your contribution. Honor happens because of humility. Like, you walk in humility towards somebody and you draw out of them what's good, and you honor what's in them, and it's reciprocated. Then now they value what you have to say. And honor is it's this momentum that's built by walking in humility towards one another. It's an amazing process. You know, abundance or riches, wealth, prosperity, these things are also in association with learning how to walk in humility. Like, if you never learn something, then you're not going to get better at your job. If you never learn anything, you're not going to get better at relationships. And if I got any business people in the room, how many know that it's often not what you know, but it's often who you know that gets business deals done? It's actually about honor. It's about walking in a way towards people that draws what's good out of them, and you valuing them and them valuing you. And this is actually what causes prosperity to move forward. It's not being right. Plenty of millionaires, even billionaires out there that aren't right. It's not about being correct. If the emphasis is on being correct, you're not walking in humility because you can't admit that you're ever wrong. You stopped learning, and then you stopped receiving, and now you stopped valuing people. Come on, you see this? Okay. This is how humility works in a life. It's necessary in the body of Christ. But then the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, in its basic form, is the understanding that at the end of your life, you're going to stand before the judge. Like, every careless word, every action, every choice of your will, your whole life is clear before him. He sees the motives of your heart. It may look good to everybody else, but he knows why you did that. Like, the world can be patting you on the back, but in your core, you know whether it was good or not. And so does he. See, the fear of the Lord will drive you to change your ways. The fear of the Lord will cause you to weigh your actions and your motives and your choices in light of eternity. So when you walk in humility towards people and the fear of the Lord, you're positioning your heart to be able to hear God's voice through people, through situations, through your boss, through your children. You're positioning your life to live in such a way that you're ready to change at any moment because you recognize that you want God's ways. You're It's not that you're just pliable and will just go with the flow of anything. It's in any direction. It is that you are living your life towards him, and in humility you're able to hear and receive from him and walk in humility towards each other, and then recognizing that all of this is open before heaven. You are not getting away with anything. But Pastor Jamie, what about the blood of Jesus? Yes, the blood of Jesus made you free so that now you have a will that can choose, and you still are going to be held accountable for your choices. The blood of Jesus set you free from the law of sin and death that held you in bondage where you didn't have choice, but it was for freedom that he set you free. The reason why he died was to give you freedom of choice. He set you free into this, and now he's been coaching you. He's been giving you the Spirit of God that breathes on your life. He's been trying to help you. He brings other people into your life. He's trying to help you live your life according to his ways. He's not controlling you. He's not controlling you. He set you free unto choice. The reward for walking in humility and the fear of the Lord is that riches or abundance, prosperity, things go well. Honor, you, people value you, you value people, you live in a community, this thing is awesome. There's a momentum on your life with people. And life, long life, like things go well. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's what it means to walk with God. Things go well. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. Now, this is where we're going to kind of camp out today. Thorns and snares. This is a prophetic picture that we first saw in the Bible right after Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden. When Adam and Eve are forced out of the Garden of Eden, God says to Adam, Adam, the ground, you know, in the garden would produce fruit, it produced vegetation. He didn't have to work for it. He literally just had to cultivate and keep. It would just continue to produce abundance for him. When he left the garden, God makes this declaration over him. He says, now, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to labor in order to cause the ground to produce. And what the ground will produce for you on its own is thorns and thistles, or thorns and snares. The ground, or the nature itself, will have a sense and an experience of decay in it immediately. You're going to have to actually work in order to counteract the decay that's coming at you. Thorns and snares, these things are in the way of the perverse. This picture is the picture of the world coming against, the world preventing what God's will is for you. In the Garden of Eden, God's perfect will. Abundance, life, honor. They're living in this type of community, this communal experience with God. The ground is producing. There's family. There's love. There's eternal life. It's all going well. Heaven on earth in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve make a choice. When they make that choice, they're forced out of this experience. The choice that they made was this. There's two trees in the garden. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told them, you can eat from any of the fruit of the garden except for the tree that was in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Lucifer, Satan, comes to Eve and tempts her and says to her, when you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. When you eat that fruit, your eyes are going to be opened and you will be like God. Eve looks at the fruit, and the scripture says that when she saw it, she saw that it was good for food and to make one wise. She took it and ate it. Now, just hang with me. At the very beginning, Adam and Eve were living in a state of communion with God where they were dependent on God's knowledge of good and evil to direct their life. When they saw that they could take of the fruit and know it for themselves and make their own decisions and no longer be in dependence of God's understanding and knowledge of good and evil. In other words, if they ate this fruit, their eyes would be open and now they'd be able to live life the way that they wanted to. Take of the fruit and they eat it. The immediate consequence is that they would want to go their own way. The immediate consequence in humanity is that humanity is still trying to go its own way. Thorns and thistles, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. That word perverse, it's an interesting word. Perversion or the perverse is something pure, something righteous, something holy, something good. And then you just introduce to it a little lie. Something totally pure, something totally true. It's a story and it's totally true, but you just add something to the story and it now is a lie. It's like a plate of brownies. You whip up some brownies. Anyone here like brownies? Cookies. Cake. I'm searching here. Cheesecake. What do you like? I don't know. Okay, imagine your favorite dessert. You're standing there and you're watching a loved one make this favorite dessert for you. And then they break out the secret ingredient. Open up a canister and they reach into the canister. Carefully apply the dog poop to it. It's just a little bit of dog poop, though. It's not a lot. It's just a little bit. Just a little bit of dog poop. Seriously, like, what's it gonna hurt? Are you gonna eat that dessert? It's just a little bit of a lie. It's just a little bit of a tainted truth. It's just a little bit of perversion. See, when something that is not true touches that which is true, it's no longer true. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. Now, this lesson, this proverb, has been something that I have lived out over and over and over in my life. I continue to live the lessons of it, and I'm continuing to be so thankful to the Lord for it. That when I walk in humility, I don't get as many lumps on the head. I learn lessons through other people. I don't have to learn them myself. When I walk in the fear of the Lord, I remain correctable, and I understand that my life is before Him, and so He can speak into my life and bring change. However, when pain comes into my life or adversity comes into my life, and instead of in humility being able to be corrected, see, when pain comes into your life, pain is actually talking to you. It's telling you that something's wrong. If you injure your body, God actually created you. He created pain sensors. Do you know that God is the one who originated pain? God is. Pain was in the garden. If Adam hits his hand with a hammer, it's going to hurt. And that pain communicates something to Adam. Now, this is not pain associated with sin. This is just pain of because God actually created us to know when something is good or when something is not. Pain is actually a way for your life to know something is off. Are you? So when I'm in humility and pain comes, I go, oh, clearly I have a lesson to learn. Oh, you don't want to be my friend anymore. That hurts. If I have a perversion, I tell my own story, my own version of the story. See, perversion is entering, I begin to tell the dialogue, I begin to tell the narrative in a way to avoid the pain instead of in humility receiving correction. See, when pain comes into my life, it's actually talking to me. It's saying, hey, you ought to not do that anymore. But if I ignore it, my tendency, because of perversion, is to now try to excuse away the experience by blaming other people for my pain. Oh, you don't like me anymore? That's because you're biased. Oh, you don't want to be my friend anymore? It's because you like the Vikings. We now begin to tell the narrative in ourselves. And when we begin to, like Lucifer, tell the story just from a little bit of a different perspective, what it does in us is it gives us excuse to seek our own way. It gives you permission to seek your own benefit. It gives you permission to not have to think about the repercussions and what you your choices are doing at other people. It gives you permission to seek for yourself. And so I begin to tell myself the story. Oh, the reason I got fired is because that boss didn't like me. Come on, tell us another one. Or it could be that you're not good at your job. Pastor Jamie, how can you say it? Because you're actually not good at your job. Someone ought to tell you. You're going to have to work hard. You're actually going to have to learn something. You're in humility going to have to receive correction. If you know how to do everything, but your boss is no longer going to let you do things because you screwed it up last time, chances are you have something to learn. Okay, this goes both ways, by the way. It's not just in the negative, it's in the positive. If you're so convinced that you're awesome that no one can tell you anything, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you're just called of God, and you walk on water, and your stuff don't smell, that's awesome. Praise God for you, except for you should turn around and see if anyone's following. The man who thinks himself a leader, but no one's following, is just going on a walk. Sometimes we can get into a self-deprecation where we are convinced of the negative so strongly that we can't hear the positive, or we can be so convinced of the positive that we can't hear the negative. It's like, oh man, in humility, you should just actually hear him. In humility, you should actually hear the correction that's coming from your friends and people that you should trust. Like, there's no greater ally on earth than your spouse. If they're telling you your stuff stinks, it stinks. Thorns and thistles, snares. Adversity starts to come, and it begins to prevent fruitfulness in your life. And if you ignore that, if you start to tell the narrative, if you allow perversion to excuse the thorns and thistles, oh, people are just against me, or people just don't like me, or you, it's the devil. Nah, it's not always the devil. Sometimes it's you. It doesn't need to be the devil because you're doing a good enough job of self-sabotage. Come on, am I telling the truth today or what? Like, you don't have to like me after this. It's okay. This process, it keeps us in pain. And unfortunately, because of how we do diagnosis and medicine in our modern age, the goal of medicine is to remove pain. But that's not the goal of the kingdom. This you're going to have to take home and wrestle with yourself, okay? That's fine. You don't have to agree with me right away. Feel free. Take this one in. But this question is going to mess you up. Let me ask you, is it a worthy kingdom goal to eliminate pain? You should wrestle with it. Is it a worthy kingdom goal to make the goal to eliminate pain? See, this process of learning how to walk in godliness, the Holy Spirit of God living in you, instructing you, teaching you, helping you to live this thing out in righteousness towards God, empowered by the Spirit. These things, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you into all truth. But that means there's a journey. He's going to lead you. You have an eternal state of being holy before God, except for in this lifetime, you have a job of living it actually out. So this process, I'm trying to help you this morning. The pain in your life, don't just try to numb yourself from the pain. Don't try to avoid pain by eliminating people. Don't try to avoid pain by going and finding another church. That's not actually going to help you. Face pain. Ask yourself the question, where is this pain coming from? If the pain is like totally demonic and it's harassing you and whatever, awesome. By the blood of Jesus, get rid of it. Praise God. But can I tell you that even Jesus said that when you are on the way to the courthouse, you should agree with your enemy before you get there. Because chances are accusation has some form of truth in it. The basis of accusation often has some form of truth in it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have a hook in you. If it's just a lie, flat out lie, you're like, ah, you're a liar. But if it's got a hook in you, if the devil's like, you're a terrible parent. Okay, so you're beating yourself up and you're feeling terrible about it. You're like, oh man, I'm a crappy dad. I'm a crappy mom. I can't say crappy in church. I shouldn't say that. Okay. You feel guilty or you feel bad because of the choices you made or whatever, okay? And so the devil's taking you to town, beating you up. You're feeling destroyed about this. You could acknowledge that you have some things to work on and then work on it, or you could just try to pretend like it's the devil. See, when you acknowledge in humility, when you go, oh, I'm not perfect. When you can acknowledge that, now all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have lessons to learn. Holy Spirit, you're with me. You're not going to leave me. You're not forsaking me. This isn't about salvation. This is about, he wants you to live in the abundance. He wants your life to be received by others because you matter. He wants you to live a long life. Your days aren't supposed to be cut short because of dumb choices. So then he draws these things out of you, teaches you lessons, he coaches you through it. But you have to respond. And one of our coping mechanisms or self-protection mechanisms is to write our own story. Instead of letting him tell you the truth, we try to cover up the truth. We just introduce little facts that really aren't true, but you're just adding to the narrative so it doesn't hurt so bad. And then you can ignore it or blame it on someone else. That's really good. Man, I am preaching my story. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. This is my journey. I can't tell you how many times where the Lord was like, hey, like, you shouldn't do that. Like, ow, God, that really hurt. Like, yeah, because that causes other people pain and it causes you pain. You shouldn't do that. Now I have a choice in this moment, okay? He's really good, really good. God is a fantastic father and knows how to give whoopings. Whoo, he does. He knows. He created you. He knows how to speak in your situation. He knows how to bring discipline. He knows how to correct you. In those moments, though, you have the choice. You can, in humility, receive the correction and then change, or you can keep going. Ignore the voice, ignore the pain, ignore the corrections, keep making the same choices, and then end up with major consequences. Don't do that. The King Saul and King David were both anointed by the Spirit of God to lead Israel. King Saul made a choice that cost him the kingdom, while David made much worse choices and still is considered one of the greatest kings in all of history. King Saul, when he was corrected, instead of repenting in humility, he asked Samuel to cover it up for him. I screwed up, yes, but go and honor me before the people. David prostrates himself before the Lord, says, I totally blew it. There's a ton of consequences, there's a ton of cost, but God sees his humility and heals him, while Saul dies in shame. Same anointing, same calling, same Spirit of God. The differences in the choices that the men made, not the destiny of God on their life. It was choices. This stuff, again, there's a whole other layer we can go into. We're not going to do it today. You get the point. You get the point? Please tell me you understood what I just said. Otherwise, okay. Whew. Like, let's not have to have this conversation again. I broke my back when I was 15 years old. Turns out I had a birth defect. I had a birth defect on my back. It made me pre-susceptible to injury. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story, and then you can sift it out yourself. Me breaking my back in that pain has caused me to have to pull back on my actions and my choices. I was into extreme sports, continued into extreme sports, except for I ended up with severe consequences, almost lost function in my right leg, ended up having to have emergency back surgeries, licked the whole bit, because I kept doing what I wanted to do instead of responding to what my body was telling me. So I end up with consequences that have nothing to do with God, that have nothing to do with anything else except for my choices. Okay? In humility, I could learn, or I could just keep doing extreme sports and end up with more problems. I could keep pushing and just go, no, this is what I want to do. I'm the captain of my soul. I'm going to keep moving forward, even though my body is screaming, you should stop. I had an exam a couple years ago because I was having these kind of weird like palpitations in my heart, and just I was having some kind of weird sensations concerning my vascular system, my heart and lungs and all this. And so they went in and they did a diagnosis, and they found out that I have a bicuspid valve in my aortic valve. I have a heart defect. And this heart defect, the result of it often, my cardiologist is telling me, he's like, you know, you hear about those guys that are like ultra marathon runners. They go out there, they're running, and they just find them dead on the trail. This is why. Because pushing your heart in an extreme exertion while you have this condition is what causes sudden heart failure. And so he's just telling me, he's coaching me a little bit. My doctor, he's saying, hey, you ought not do that. My upbringing, the pain I experienced in my physical body as a result of my back injury, restricted me and kept me from doing the marathons, from doing the ultra extreme sports, from doing the very things that would have killed me. You tell me, where's the goodness of God and all that? Do you know how many times I've been prayed for? Do you know how many times famous people have prayed for me? Now, I have I'm walking right now without pain. I'm in a pretty good place these days. Like, God's done a great work in my body, okay? But now that I'm feeling good, does that mean now I should go back to, like, everyone's like, no, stop. We prayed enough. Like, this is enough. You should learn a lesson, Pastor Jamie. Yes, I should learn a lesson, and so should you. Because sometimes the experiences in life are actually coaching and actually trying to help you, and actually God is intimately involved in your life, and you should trust him. Because if you trust him and you trust that the Holy Spirit of God is in you and he's actually leading and guiding you and leading you into truth, and he's helping you, then you can trust actually that the circumstances in your life aren't all from the devil. That actually he's intimately involved in your life, and you could learn something. God could coach you. God can actually use even bad, horrific situations to bring life lessons that help you in your calling. He will turn every evil thing, anything that's meant for evil, he can turn it for good in a moment. Just like that, turn it around. If you walk in humility. If you refuse to receive the correction, if you refuse to let him coach your life, then come on, there's a whole buffet of pain you can have. But you don't have to. Y'all, he's really good. He's really good. He's really good to you, and you really can trust him. Okay? How you get honest with yourself is by stop telling yourself the stories. Stop blaming other people for the fact that they don't like you. They don't like you because there's something about you that's really taking them off or annoying them. You got to change. Friends are good to have. You got to be honest with each other. Stop patronizing one another. See, in this house, we actually love each other. We do. There's a culture in this house of acceptance. We accept you where you are at, but if you choose to stay there and refuse to actually walk in the things of God, like, we're going to keep moving around you. If you're on the journey, I am okay with journey. I'm okay with process. I'm okay with you being super messy right now because I know the Spirit of God's going to help you through your process and actually bring you towards righteousness. But if you're walking in pride and you refuse to listen to him and you refuse to change, you refuse to receive correction, you refuse to acknowledge that the people around you might be right and you might be wrong, now we have a problem. I'm okay, and our culture's okay. This church is okay. We want to love people where they're at, but in that love, it doesn't mean we leave truth behind. We're not going to judge one another and demand change from one another. No, I'm actually okay with process. You're going through your process, so am I. If you give me freedom and you give me patience for me to go through what God's taken me through, then I'll do the same for you. But don't pretend like God's turning the other way and ignoring the fact that you're just blowing off righteous choices. Come on. Let pain actually be one of the coaches in your life. Don't ignore it. The red light on the dash is your friend. I had an intern once that blew their car up. Their parents had given them a rather new car. And the red light came on, and they came in one day and said, "Hey, Pastor Jamie, what does this mean?" I went and I looked at it. I said, "Oh, when's the last time you had your oil change?" He said, "Oh, I've never had my oil change. I didn't know I was supposed to have my oil change." They're like 40,000 miles into this experience. I said, "You need to go have your oil change. You need to go take care of this. This light on the dash means something." And they ignored it, and the engine seized on the car. Okay, please, somebody, don't tell me that was the will of God for their life. God's grace is there, and his mercy will meet you in any circumstance. Man, he has pulled my life from the mud and the mire. He rescued me. He rescued me. I still had to respond. Change still had to come. Still had to start making choices. You can't stay in that state. Mercy won't let you stay in that state. Just stand to your feet this morning. The Holy Spirit of God, it is an amazing coach. He is amazing at telling you the truth. I have found in my life that there are times when he speaks to me that I really don't want to believe him. I don't want to believe him. But I've learned to trust him. I've learned to trust people. And I'm asking this of you today, that you would let the Father, who is so good, he's better than you think, that he's trustworthy. Just trust him. Trust him in your process. You don't have to change everything today. Just do what he's telling you to do. If there's one aspect of your life that Holy Spirit's breathing on, then respond to the one aspect. Look, the journey of 1,000 miles, it all starts with one step. You can do this. I mean, as I'm talking today, some of you are like, man, I have red flags everywhere in my life. I know I've got to change this and this and this and this. Whoa, stop. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be a better dad. I don't want to, at the end of my life, regret my life. So Holy Spirit, would you help me? Would you coach me? Is there something that I can change today that helps me to be a better dad? And then you do what you do? You do that. And the rest will come. God, I pray today that the breath of the Spirit of God would breathe on each one, that life would enter into souls, that truth would enter in, that we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free from self-delusion. It would set us free from the bondage and lies of the enemy. It would set us free from the schemes of men and the schemes, Lord God, of the devil, the schemes of our own making. Father, I'm asking this morning for a grace to connect with one another, a grace for humility, God. Give us grace. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Lord, we need your grace. Father, I just release your mercy afresh. Friends, be forgiven. Don't carry that anymore. Be released from it this morning, but then make a change. God, I release mercy. Mercy to them, freedom to be on the journey. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would breathe on an aspect of life today. Give them permission. Ask him, Lord, is there something, one thing, God? What is it that you're breathing on in my life, God? I surrender to you. Be my Lord. I open the door of my heart. Come and fellowship. Lord, come into me. Coach me, teach me, guide me. Holy Spirit, we trust you. Father, I pray for revelation to illuminate hearts, illuminate minds. I pray for God, for grace, for humility, for repentance. Lord, we change our mind, change the way we think about things. And then, Lord, that you'd heal us. God, that you'd reach into our circumstance to heal us. God, that you'd reach into relationships that are broken and you would heal them. God, you'd reach into job situations and trust would be regained so that we can have a job again. God, I pray for that restoration to happen. Father, I thank you for these things. And I pray them in Jesus' name this morning. Now, Lord, I bless your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he be gracious to you. His countenance, his favor, pull you from your circumstances, lift you up. And his peace, it would guard your heart and your mind. You would live within this shalom, this kingdom of peace. Father, I bless your people this morning in the name of Jesus. And anyone who would dare to agree with that said, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord this morning?